I mentioned in my sermon that there were two catastrophes that have occurred on the earth. One of them was the flood of Noah, and the other one was the catastrophe that occurred in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and let's do some reading. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the second verse says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Now, those two scriptures look like they're pretty basic scriptures, but they've actually generated a lot of controversy in creation accounts. For example, when you read this, verse 1 and 2 of Genesis 1, there's actually two creation scenarios that people come up with. One perspective states that verse 1 is actually part of the first day of the creation week, and that those events all take place within one 24-hour period. So what the young earth creationists say is that from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 on, everything takes place in 7 days. Including the creation of the heavens and the earth. And all of this takes place in one day. As a matter of fact, this takes place a few thousand years ago. And since everything has been created a few thousand years ago, before a few thousand years ago, nothing existed except God, Jesus Christ, the God, Son of God, and if you're a good Protestant, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So before this, there was nothing but the Godhead. Now this means that before this, there was no Satan. Because Satan is an angel. He's created. There was no angelic host. There was no spirit realm. The only thing that existed was God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Now, these people that believe this are called young earth creationists. Now, there's another scenario. And that scenario says that there was a pre-existing earth. That the earth existed before this. And that the earth became wasted and ruined, and then God, in 7 days, from about verse 3 on, recreated the wrecked earth. All right? And this is called old earth creationism, because in this scenario, the earth is old, and yet we're still young because we were created a few thousand years ago. That's called the old earth creation scenario. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but if you're a Church of God member, if you're a believer in the Church of God, Worldwide Association, its doctrines, including the United Church of God, the Living Church of God, the various other churches of God, we actually are all old earth creationists. We believe that sometime in the past, the earth was created, it fell into ruin, and then God in 7 days recreated the earth. The purpose of this Bible study is to show you that there is a gap or a time period between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And that we are old earth creationists, and that's a correct interpretation of the scriptures. Now, if you understand that there's a gap, it'll give you a better understanding about Satan and his prehistory and all of that, because Satan existed long before man was around, according to the older scenario. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 1, let's read it in two different ways. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void." You can also read it this way. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became without form and void." That word "was" is the word "higher." We're going to look at it in a little while. So some say that the earth was created, and others say that the earth was created and then it became wasted and confused. And we actually believe the second of these. Let's first of all look at a couple of Hebrew words. One is the Hebrew word "bara." That's spelled B-A-R-A. The other is the Hebrew word "asha," A-S-A-H. Now, let's look at the creation account from the point of view of the young earth creationists. We're going to look at how their logic runs. And once we understand how their logic runs, we'll be able to see how it's wrong. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It said, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, The word make there is the word asha. Then in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. The word created is the word bara. So they say the word asha can mean make, and the word bara can mean created. So therefore, asha and bara, according to the young earth position, means the same thing, that God has made something. God has created something. All right? Now, once you understand as a young earth creationist that that is what supposedly has happened, then you're going to keep your place in Genesis. We're going to go to Exodus. You're going to interpret Exodus 20 the following way. Exodus 20, verse 8 is the commandment about the Sabbath. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, seems to indicate that in 6 days this was done, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So they say, you see here in chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 11, in 6 days God made everything. All right? And then they go back to Genesis chapter 1, and they look at verse 16. And I'm often asked, did God make the moon and the sun and the stars on the fourth day? Because it says here in verse 16, then God made two great lights. Asha made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament. So they say, see, here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, God has made the two great lights, the moon and the sun, and he did that on the fourth day. All right, now here's the problem. If Asha and Bara do not mean the same thing, then these interpretations young earthers have are incorrect. And what I'm going to show you is that the word Asha and the word Bara mean different. If you go to a Hebrew lexicon or you go to Strong's Exhaustive and you look up the word Asha, this is what you get. To do, to make, to accomplish, to appoint, to bestow, to bring forth, to furnish, to grant, to offer, to prepare, to procure, provide, set, show, or yield. So this implies, and if you look at the Old Testament, whenever the word Asha is used, it implies that something exists and then it was appointed or made something else. For example, you have a man that's been ordained a deacon. Well, when the minister laid hands on him and made him a deacon, you know, he just didn't appear out of nowhere as a deacon. You know, and poof, he creates this deacon out of nothing. No, he took a church member and he appointed him or made him a deacon. That's what the word Asha means. The word Bara, according to Strong's and other concordances, means to create or creator. So when we think of the word, you know, we think of God creating something out of nothing, the word actually is Bara. So Asha means to appoint or to bring forth. Bara means to create. Now, once we understand that, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and let's read this understanding Asha and Bara. See how it fits in with the old earth creationists. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make Asha. Asha can mean appoint, right? Or bring forth. Then God said, let us make or appoint man or bring him forth in our image. Now in verse 27, so God created or bara man. Now he didn't create man twice. Once in verse 26 and once in verse 27. He only created him once. But he was saying, we're going to bring man forth and we're going to make him like us. And then in verse 27, he actually makes man. Okay. Now Asha means appoint or bestow or bring forth. Bara means to make. Let's go now to Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. Then God, Asha. What does Asha mean? To appoint. Then God appointed two great lights. Now, if the sun and the moon existed before Genesis chapter 1, then God is taking something that already exists and he's appointing them. So he's appointing the sun and the moon to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Notice the word he made is in italics. He didn't make the stars. So this verse should read like this. Then God appointed two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He appointed the stars also. God set them in the firmament. Notice what he did. In verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. The word seasons is a Hebrew word moed. It is translated in Leviticus 16 as appointments or convocations. Holy days. So what God is doing in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and 16, he's taking the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he's appointing them as markers for the holy days. How do you know that the Sabbath has arrived? Well, the sun sets and rises seven times. Is that a sign for you? Sure. How do you know the first month, 14th day of the month, has come for Passover? The month is a moon. One cycle of the moon, 14 risings and settings of the sun later, we have the day of Passover. So if God is going to create man in the sixth day, which is 2 days from here, then it's important that God, when he creates man, that man have a way to keep the holy days and the Sabbath. Right after man was created, was going to be the what? Seventh day? Sabbath. So man needed to know that seven suns had risen and set. So here, we understand that the word for made in verse 16 is appointed. God appointed two great lights for the holy day markers. It's basically what it's saying. Now hold your place here, and let's go to Exodus 20. And let's look at Exodus 20 with this understanding. Verse 11, you see the word in Exodus 20, verse 11, the word in is in italics, which means it's not in the original. The translators added it to try to make it more sensible, but they actually clouded the meaning. So this is what it should read. You see the word where it says made, that's the word asha. So this is how it should read. For 6 days, the Lord appointed, bestowed, brought forth the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. That's a lot different than in 6 days the Lord made everything. Now, here's an interesting scripture. Let's go to Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Now I'm telling you that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, God appointed the sun and the moon, right? That's what I'm saying. Notice Psalms 104, verse 19. He appointed the moon for the seasons. You see the word appointed? That's the word asha. That's the way it should have been translated in Genesis chapter 1. So when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, the young earthers say that the moon and the sun and the earth were created on the fourth day. We say that the moon, the sun, the earth existed long before that, and that in verse 16, God was simply appointing them for markers. Now, a couple of other things. Every day that God creates something, he says, then God said, and it was done. So God creates things by speaking them into existence. For example, notice verse 13. The third day ends, then God said, let there be lights, and he appoints the sun and the moon and the stars. Notice verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And that ends in verse 8. Verse 8 is the evening and the morning with the second day. Verse 9, the third day, then God said. At the beginning of every day, this is what happens. God says, and it occurs. Now notice that the God says and the creation's speaking begins in verse 3. God didn't say in verse 1, God said, let me create the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the heavens and the earth already existed. And then in verse 3, he begins by saying, then God said, let me, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fish, the seas, separate the water, make the dry land, and all that. Now, here's one more thing. If the moon and the sun according to the young earth position, were created on day four, then what causes the sun to rise? What causes the evening and the morning of the other days? Because the evening and the morning, the evening is sunset. That's the same evening used all throughout the Bible for the word sunset, which means the sun goes down. And there's no going. There's no sun in on day three, and there's no sun on day two, and there's no sun on day one. What's going up and down to make the evening? So what I want you to understand is that we understand that the earth existed a long time before we came on the scene. And verse 2, it says, the earth became without form and void, as it should read. Let's look at my second point. My first point was the words Ashan Bara. Second point is a Hebrew word Haya. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, the earth was. The word was is the word Haya. It can be spelled forwards and backwards the same. H-A-Y-A-H. Same forwards and backwards. Young earthers will tell you that the word Haya can be translated was, and it can. Can be translated was. The old earthers will tell you that the word Haya can be translated became, and it can be, and it often is. So what's the clincher? The clincher is the context. The context. Now, let me show you something. You don't have to go there. We don't have enough time. But just listen to the following scriptures. In the following scriptures, the word Haya, which is translated was here, and these other scriptures, it has been translated became. I want to show you that it can be translated became. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became Haya, a living being. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Now a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became Haya, four riverheads. Genesis chapter 3, 22. The Lord said, behold, the man has become Haya like one of us. Genesis chapter 9, verse 15. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never become again Haya, a flood to destroy all flesh. Genesis chapter 18, 18. Abraham shall surely become Haya, a great and mighty nation. Genesis 19, 26. But his wife looked back behind him, Lot's wife, and she became Haya, a pillar of salt. She was not a pillar of salt before. She was human, and she became one. Genesis 20, verse 12. But indeed, she truly is my sister. But she is a daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became Haya, my wife, Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 21:20. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and he became Haya, an archer. Genesis 32:10. I am not worthy the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become Haya, two companies. Verse 67 of Genesis 24. He took Rebekah, and she became Haya, his wife, Isaac and Rebekah. Genesis 34:16. Then we will give you our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become Haya, one people. Genesis 37:20, talking about Joseph. Come, therefore, and now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become Haya of his dreams. A couple more. Genesis 47:20. Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe upon them, so the land became Haya, Pharaoh's. Genesis 47:26. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Haya, Pharaoh's. And one more. This is an interesting one. It has the word Haya became twice in the same verse. Genesis 48:19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He shall also become Haya, a people, and he shall also become great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become Haya, a multitude of nations. So we see here that the word Haya is often but not always, but often translated became. Now, the context of Genesis 1, and when you understand what happened to Satan and the angels and the rebellion, you understand that the earth was destroyed. So the context shows that we have the earth in one condition, and it has transformed into another condition. So the earth became a certain way. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And let's look at something else. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was or became without form and void. Let's look at the words without form and void. All right? There are two Hebrew words. The word for without form is the word tohu. The word void is bohu. You heard of, in Hebrew, there's a word that is, there's a saying, it's tohu and bohu. You've heard of the word in English, topsy-turvy, all mixed up? That's where that comes from. Tohu and bohu is a Hebrew idiom, which means all messed up, you know, all mixed around. And so this comes from these words here. So what's happening in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth became confused, empty, vain, and chaotic. And what happens? Notice in the last part of verse 2, over the face of the waters, there was a great flood that covered the earth after the earth was destroyed. Now, we're not sure exactly what happened, but apparently the earth was created. It, Haya, became tohu and bohu, confused, empty, vain, and chaotic. And water was covering everything. You remember the first thing God did? Rose up the landforms, separated out the water. This is because the earth was covered by water. The earth is very, very, was destroyed by this water. Now, this shows that the earth was in a state of ruin. Let's go, hold your place here, we're going to be coming back. Let's go forward to 2 Peter. 2 Peter mentions this destruction. 2 Peter. And we're going to look in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Now, this can be applied. They're not sure exactly what this applies to. It applies to some kind of catastrophe that destroyed the earth. Was it applicable to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2? Or was it applicable to Genesis chapter 6? Some of your scholars say it's the flood. I believe it's actually referring to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's read it. For this, in verse 5, they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You remember when God spoke to Noah and he said, I'm never going to send a flood again to destroy the earth? He's not. He's not going to send a flood. He's going to send it by fire. He's going to send fire, and that's what's going to destroy the earth. The point is this. The water, in sometime in the past, destroyed the earth. Now, notice verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, talking about the destruction by fire. The point is this. In verse 5, the heavens were of old. And verse 6, they existed, being perished, flooded with water. So when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we see that the earth is covered by a mantle of water. Probably referring to what's going on there in Peter. So the earth has been destroyed. So there actually were, remember in my sermon on evolution, I told you that there were two destructions. And the young earthers do not believe in the first destruction, because they believe that all of this took place in 7 days. If you understand that the earth existed before and it fell into a state of ruin, you can see how there was a destruction that caused it. And if you understand that there was a destruction of the earth before man, and then you understand that there was a destruction of the earth after man in the flood, it helps you to sort out the fossil record. A lot of you young earthers try to say that dinosaurs and men existed together, because the dinosaurs had to be destroyed by the flood because they were created with Adam, right? Well, if there was a world before and it perished, and that world included the dinosaurs, then the dinosaurs are buried in older strata and are not around when man is around, which is what the geological record shows us, sort of. So it agrees with what the geological record says. Now, let's look at the angelic history, because there was something that happened that destroyed the earth here. God created the earth perfect. You remember when God created the earth, and it says in Job that the sons of God shouted for joy? They shouted for joy when God created the earth. God did not create it in a state of confusion. He created it in a state of goodness. Let's look at, let me see if I can find it here. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah, keep your place in Genesis. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. And in verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain. You see the word vain? Mine has a little heading. It says empty or waste. That's the Hebrew word tohu. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says the earth became tohu. It says here in Isaiah that he did not create it that way. So something caused the earth to become tohu, wasted, confused, empty, chaotic. So the question is, what destroyed the earth before man was around? We're going to answer that question now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at the history of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age is blinded. Who is the God of this age? Satan. Satan is the God of this world. You know, if you tell somebody that Christ is not the God of this world, but it's biblical. Satan is the God of this world. Satan was appointed to be the ruler of the earth. He was disqualified because of the rebellion he led. God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ to be tempted by Satan and to overcome Satan. And then God is now being granted the prerogative, God the Father, Son, to be the new king. When is he going to be inaugurated? When he comes back down and there's a marriage supper of the Lamb and the return of Jesus Christ. Is this still Satan's world? Yeah, because Christ hasn't come down to take over rulership. You can read about that in Daniel. In Daniel it says, you know, that there was the beast and the horns and all of these things. And then the kingdoms were destroyed when Christ came down. In Daniel 7, we're not going to go there. But this world is still controlled by the governments controlled by Satan. And we get so political, brethren. Oh, I hope so-and-so wins. I hope so-and-so wins. It doesn't matter. It's not God's world. It doesn't matter who gets elected. And let me tell you something. If we have a righteous, God-fearing president elected that converts the country and changes everything around, the Bible's not right. Because we're supposed to be in the pits when he returns. And it sure seems like we're going that way. So another subject. So what I want to we're going to look at the history of Satan. Notice John chapter 12. First thing we got to show is who is in charge of this world. John chapter 12. I didn't say in charge of the church, because we are protected. I said in charge of the world. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Talking about Satan being cast out. He's the ruler of this world. Go forward a couple of pages to John 14. John 14. And we're going to look at John 14 in verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Who's the ruler of this world? Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world. You remember in Luke 4, we're not going to go there, but Satan tempts Christ, and he takes him up to the pinnacle or some high tower, and he says, you know, cast yourself down, because God will bear you up, the angels will bear you up. He says, you see everything? I'm going to give it to you. Everything that you see, I'll give it. You know, the kingdom of the world passed in a flash of a moment. And, you know, if you follow me, Christ, I'll make you ruler of all this. You'll be second under me. Why? Because Satan has the authority to do that. It belongs to him. You know, God didn't say, Satan, it's not yours to give me. God said, no, you shall not, you know, you shall worship the God of him and only him. Another subject, but God was showing us, Christ was showing us, that Satan indeed is the authority of the world. Let's go to, we're going to look in Ezekiel chapter 28. We're not going to have time. Let's go to Isaiah 14. We're going to look at the spiritual career of Satan. We've seen that he's a god of this world. Let's look at some interesting scriptures. Notice in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. Lucifer means light bringer. You speak Spanish, you say Lucifero, which means a light. You have a light for my cigar, my cigarette, or my pipe. It's a match, a light. It means light bringer. How you are fallen from heaven, O light bringer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Notice that he's going to have to ascend. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. So he's given a throne from which he needs to ascend above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. So Satan has a throne from which he wants to ascend, which is below the heights of the clouds, which tells me that he's somewhere on the earth. His throne is below the clouds, below the stars, and he's going to ascend from there to take over God's kingdom. And what happens? Great warfare in heaven. We can read about it in Genesis chapter 12. There was war in heaven. Satan and his angels fought. They fight against God and his angels. And they were what? Cast down where? To the earth. So Satan and his fallen angels are living on the earth. You ever wonder why there's so many problems in the world? It's because of that. Let's look at that real quickly. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And in verse 4. His tail, this is a great fiery red dragon. His tail drew a third of the stars. What are stars? Stars are angels. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 1. Seven stars of the seven churches. You know, I saw a star fall from heaven. It was an angel with a scroll. Satan's called the bright and morning star. Venus, Mercury, and the lower horizon on the morning or the evening are the brightest of all the stars. So you had Satan, who was a star, who was the brightest of all of them. He was the head of all the stars. He was the epitome of what God could create. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Talks about all that's going to happen. Notice verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them anymore. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil. Notice, he's not called the serpent of just a few years ago, which would imply that if he was only a few thousand years old. This is Satan was cast out, that serpent of old. He's been around for a long, long time. So if we understand that there has been an old earth and that the earth was destroyed, we can fit the history of Satan in there. And we understand that Satan, we're not sure, but Satan probably had a hand in destroying the earth. Every time you see destruction in the Bible, it's caused by sin. And so the only beings that were around before man was around to destroy what God had perfectly created and brought it to a state of ruin and destruction was the angelic host. And the angels, led a rebellion, Satan at the lead, to try to do what? I will ascend above my throne, above the clouds, above, I'm going to take over the stars of God, which were all his angels, and I'm going to dethrone God. I know better than God. And so there was a great battle. Now, there's a great battle, and you've got the earth and the solar system and the moon and all of that involved. You think there's going to be some things knocked around? Yep. We have the asteroid belt. Some planet was destroyed. We have the moon. If you look at the moon, the side facing the moon has more craters than the side facing away. If you look at the earth, it's got pockmarks from craters that have been eroded over. If you look at Saturn, it's got a ring around it where a moon was destroyed. All this destruction, brethren, where did it come from? So we understand that there was a destruction there between the two ages. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And let's read this as it should read. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm pausing because time passed. How much? We don't know. Could have been 100 years, could have been 100 million, could have been several billion. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time passed. The earth became tohu and bohu, chaotic, confused, and empty and wasted. Then in verse, and covered by water, last part of verse 2. Then in verse 3, in 7 days, God recreated the earth as a habitation for man. And in verse 16, God appointed the lights for man that had just been created so he could tell the Sabbath and the holy days later on. That's a correct interpretation of Genesis. So when I told you that we're not young earth creationists, I say that because young earth creationists believe that the earth and man are created almost within a week of each other. You know, they were created the fourth day, we were created the sixth day. So the earth and everything we see is only a couple days older than we are. And that's not what's biblical. What's biblical is the earth has existed, old earth, we are old earthers, and then it fell into a state of ruin and decay through the rebellion of Satan. Then God began to refashion it, created man, appointed the moon and the stars, created the Sabbath, and then we have the present state. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, this is like, I know I have this concept where there are other worlds, and I don't like that concept. Well, consider something. There was a pre-Adamic world that we're talking about, the world of the dinosaurs, the giant dragonflies that were 24, 25 inches long. I mean, crocodiles that were 40, 50 feet long. And let me ask you a question. This is kind of something to think about. Men live to be 800 or 900 years old, right? It says that in the Bible. A crocodile grows as long as it's living. So if you have a crocodile that's 60 feet long, what does that mean? It means it lived for a long time. So men were not the only things that lived for a long time. It's another subject. We'll get to that later on. But there was a pre-Adamic world. Then there was a world from Adam to the time of Noah, when men lived to be 800 years old. Then there's this present world right now that we're living in. Apostles, you know, our modern age. And then what's going to happen? What are we waiting for? What world are we waiting for? The millennium. There's going to be a millennial world that's coming. And then after a millennium, is that it? No, there's going to be the new heavens and the new earth. So don't let this concept about different ages and worlds confuse you. Because the Bible talks about many different time periods. There is much biblical evidence that indicates that the creation account in Genesis 1 is simply a recreation account. The old earth position has not been accepted because of the needs of vast amounts of time to harmonize with geology. A lot of people say, oh, you're old earthers. You believe in evolution and all this old strata, and you're going in line with the evolutionists and the geologists. No, we believe in an old earth because the Bible says it. That's why we believe it. The gap, we're sometimes called gapists. The gap is based on solid biblical evidence and is also gives us a proper understanding of the events in biblical history, such as the events involving Satan, angels, war in heaven, sin, judgment, and God's plan, and a coming new age. All that's implied in believing in the old earth. The proper understanding of the gap in the old earth position reveals several things that are not clearly understood when biblical and creation scholars claim that the universe, including the earth, is at most only a few thousand years old. First and foremost, when we understand about the old earth position, it reveals a proper understanding of the history of Satan and the angels he led into rebellion. You can't fit the rebellion of Satan into 2 days. Because of the gap, God is revealed as a God of justice and of judgment, and that all sin has consequences. The angels that fell into sin are going to suffer the consequences of their sin. The sons of God will inhabit a future world that's coming. Another important point of understanding is that Satan and the fallen angels' ultimate destiny has not yet been decided. He has not been dethroned yet, brethren. He's still on his throne. That's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. These fallen angels that wrecked the first earth are yet to be judged. Their ultimate judgment is going to be the responsibility of us, the sons of God.